A Faithful Father. It's the title of my sermon for today. On this Father's Day, I can't help but think about two fathers who will never again experience the adulation and appreciation that fathers receive. George Floyd and Rayshard Brooks were fathers, but they are no longer around to celebrate Father's Day. To be sure, neither man was perfect. No one is perfect. But George Floyd and Rayshard Brooks didn't deserve to have their lives cut short by vigilante police officers who decided to become judge, jury, and executioner. Today, we send our thoughts, prayers, and best wishes to the children and families of George Floyd and Rayshard Brooks. Beloved, there are so many African American fathers who love, support, nurture, and protect their families and their children. I call them faithful fathers. Today, we highlight the life, legacy, and faithfulness of a father who provides a powerful template for all fathers. Our text presents the brief story of a man named Enoch. There are few biographical details about Enoch's life. We don't know how Enoch made a living. We don't know the name of Enoch's wife or whether he had several wives. We don't know what kind of neighbor Enoch was. We don't know whether Enoch was tall or short, rich or poor, whether he was stern or lenient with his children. We know that he had several sons and daughters. And I think it's good that we don't have all the particulars about Enoch's life story, because what we are told speaks volumes about who he was and what he stood for. The text says when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Enoch became a father when he was 65 years old. Now, before you old men get too excited, we aren't exactly certain how the ancients counted years and time. But Enoch became the father of Methuselah after turning 65 years of age. What the text says after that is compelling. It says, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. The text doesn't indicate whether Enoch's faithfulness was a result of fatherhood or just a statement about Enoch's life. But I like the fact that the Bible says that Enoch was faithful for 300 years after becoming a father. That is powerful, because it suggests to me that becoming a father ought to induce changes in a man's life. Let's assume that fatherhood had a tremendous impact upon Enoch. That's important. If Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years after becoming a father, then Enoch understood the importance of faith and the importance of providing a godly example for his son and for his family. Enoch chooses to be the man God wants him to be. Beloved, being a father is a serious responsibility, and becoming a father ought to induce changes in a man's life. Children need protection. Children must be clothed and fed. Children need guidance. They need direction. Children need access to quality health care. They need an education. And as a father, children and families expect you to provide material comforts. Now, I know that's old fogey, old-fashioned. I know that we live in a different world today, and both mothers and fathers provide material comforts. But certainly fathers, we are talking about fathers today, are expected to provide material comforts, a home, a place to sleep, a place to roam and play, a place that is safe, a place to learn and to grow. Faithful fathers understand these responsibilities. Faithful fathers realize that they must get themselves together in order to provide for their children. Faithful fathers think about positioning their children for the future with education, with hard work, with wisdom, and with solid values. And faithful fathers understand the importance of faith in God. If children are going to learn about God and live under the sovereignty of God, then their fathers must know about God and provide the template for them to follow. So becoming a father ought to induce changes in a man's life. I was going to share an illustration about a little boy who was crazy about his father to make my point about a change in a father's life. But I want to say something different. I'm going to move away from my sheet a bit. I had a friend several years ago who was going through a divorce, and he decided that he wanted to make the divorce very complicated, and he did. Dragged divorce proceedings out, and he had always complained about his wife and said that she was not a good mother, that she wasn't taking care of the children. So when he got ready to divorce, I just assumed he would apply for custody of the children, but he didn't want custody of the children. And then he said to me on the phone one day, he said, they've given me an order of child support, but I'm not going to pay child support. I'm not giving her anything. If I have to quit my job, I'll do that in order not to give her child support. Now, I'm talking about this friend because the friend is dead now, so he can't come back and get me. But when he told me that he did not want to pay child support because he did not want to give it to his ex-wife, I said to him, that child support is not for your ex-wife. That is for your children. You still have a responsibility as a father to take care of your children. He didn't agree with me. We stopped our friendship after that because I lost respect for him. I have no respect for a man who's willing to bear children biologically or to participate in it and then not hang around to take care of the children he helped to bring into the world. Being a faithful father, becoming a father, ought to induce changes in a man's life. There's another thing that struck me about the story of Enoch. I'm also struck by the number 300. And whether this was based upon the solar year or some other method of counting, 300 suggests a long time. Enoch walked faithfully with God for his entire life, so that the longevity of his faithfulness is significant. It tells me that Enoch was consistent. It tells me that Enoch refused to conform to the pressures of those around him. It tells me that each day for 300 years, Enoch got up and made the choice to be faithful. Look at that. Being faithful and living right are not easy. It's not just walking in the park. There are myriad temptations and opportunities to do something different. And Enoch was not immune to evil or temptation. I'm sure that he was exposed to evil. And when you are exposed to evil, you have to make a decision. You have to decide whether you will conform or do what is right. And the Bible says for 300 years, Enoch walked faithfully with God. He never took a day off. He never went on hiatus. For 300 years, he walked faithfully with God. Longevity is an important component of being a faithful father. You see, children need their fathers every day. Families need the support and guidance of their fathers every day. And to remain faithful, you have to get up each day with the intention of doing what is right. You have to resist the tendency to become complacent as a father. Being a father is a lifetime commitment. There are no days off. As long as you live, your calling as a father confronts you. As you honor your fathers, honor the longevity of their commitment to you. So many people wait until the funeral of their father comes around to say, my father was always there for me. Well, you ought to express those sentiments while your father is still alive. Honor the lifelong commitment of fathers, because fathers will take care of their families, and they do it for a long time. Now, this isn't on my paper either. I'm going to skip the illustration I wrote out. And I wrote out an illustration about a little girl, but I'm going to talk about my little girl. As my baby daughter flew in from Philadelphia yesterday, and she's going to spend the summer with us, and she's working from home. My baby daughter, Chantal. And I wasn't going to go to the airport to pick her up. I was sending my older son to pick her up, and you know, he could go and pick her up. What's the big deal? Why do I have to go to the airport to pick her up? I've taken her to the airport. I picked up from the airport for years. I put my airport time in, but I decided not to go and pick her up yesterday. But as I was sitting there in my room thinking about it, I said to myself, well, they've gotten these shelter-in-place orders now. I don't know what she'll confront when she gets to the airport, and whether somebody will say, well, where did you fly in from? And say, well, you have to go over to this hotel, and you have to shelter-in-place. You're not allowed to go certain places. And then I said, well, my son might be able to handle it, but then he might go off, and he's a black man, and I don't want a black man to go off and be another victim. And so I said, I'd better get up, take my credit cards and my money, and go to the airport and pick up my baby girl and bring her home. That's because I know she's a grown woman. I know she can take care of herself, but the daddies don't take a day off. You're always a father. And so longevity in the life of Enoch speaks volumes about being a faithful father. One more thing and I'm done. We see that Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years, but then we also see the reward of faithfulness. God notices and honors Enoch's faithfulness. The text says, altogether Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Look at that. God just took him. What does that mean, beloved? God just took him. It means that Enoch crosses the threshold of death through the agency of the Almighty. And that isn't clear what I just said, that through the agency of the Almighty. What does that mean? Well, this whole thing about God taking us is a mystery. It just means God is in charge. God is superintending the transition. And God applauds Enoch's faithful life with a special ending. God takes him. I like that. If you live right, God will bless you. If you are faithful, God will reward your faithfulness. Clearly, Enoch dies, but how he dies is orchestrated by God. After Enoch's journey is complete, God comes and gets him. There can be no greater reward than to land in the arms of a faithful God. How should we honor faithful fathers? We can say, thanks, Dad. We can give a big hug. We can plan a special meal. We can buy something that Dad really wants. Now, this isn't on my paper. Let me just drop this off parenthetically. For years, I've said to my wife and children, oh, don't worry about it. It doesn't make any difference for Father's Day. My wife has never said that about Mother's Day. I know that she always has something definite. This is what I want. So I started becoming definite. I don't want you just to give me something from your heart. I want you to give me something off my list. Now, I'm looking for it when I get home today. All those things are great. But I think that real fathers, faithful fathers, really want to see their children succeed and do well. A faithful father wants a faithful daughter and a faithful son. A faithful father wants his children to continue the family legacy. A faithful father wants to be sure his children are well long after he is gone. A faithful father wants his children to honor him by carrying the mantle of values and achievement that he bequeathed to them. That's all a faithful father really wants. I'm reminded of a poem by Karen K. Boyer entitled Dad. And she writes, "He never looks for praises. He's never one to boast. He just goes on quietly working for those he loves the most. His dreams are seldom spoken. His wants are very few. And most of the time, his worries will go unspoken too. He's there, a firm foundation through all our storms of life, a sturdy hand to hold to in times of stress and strife, a true friend we can turn to when times are good or bad, one of our greatest blessings, the man we call Dad." What a powerful poem and message. Ultimately, a faithful father knows that his reward is not an earthly reward. He knows what Enoch knew, that being faithful is its own reward. He looks not for pay down here, but he looks to the great paymaster of eternal glory. And one day God will say to a faithful father, "Enough done." And that faithful father will be just like Abraham. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So fathers, be faithful. Fight the good fight for yourselves, your families, and your children. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not faint. God bless you, beloved. We extend the invitation to Christ. It's not just an invitation extended to fathers, but an invitation extended to everybody. You can follow the path of Enoch and become a faithful father. We invite you to follow that path today, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to believe in his death, his resurrection, believe in his life, and when you accept him by faith, you are saved. You can call us at the church. You can email us. You can come by the church and visit with one of the ministers. We offer Christ to you.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We
bless you, beloved. On next Sunday, we celebrate Children's Mission Day. Our children will be leading us in worship. They have prepared videos that will be a part of worship on next Sunday. There will be a child as the lay speaker next Sunday. So look forward to that. This Wednesday, in preparation for Children's Mission Sunday, I've asked the children in our church to respond to some questions that I'm going to use for our Bible study podcast on Wednesday, and then to come up with some questions that they have for me. So we'd like to encourage the children to listen to the podcast this Wednesday, because their questions will be featured, and the questions that I have posed to them will also be featured. It will be posted on our website after 4 o'clock on Wednesday, so please have your children available if you can. Also, I'd like for us to take some selfies to place on our website, and I think a good time to do it is around the celebration of the 4th of July. And so, you know, we want to see what you look like. We want to see, you know, what you look like when your hair isn't dyed and it's not combed and, you know, it's growing back like the one, my hair on the sides growing back. We want to see how your children have grown and what's happening in your families. So take some pictures, some selfies, and send them in to the church office or to Reverend Spears. And we're going to post them on our website so that we can keep in touch with seeing each other, seeing the images of our families. Now, of course, we want you to be respectably dressed in the selfies now. And then finally, just want to encourage you about giving. You can continue to give online on our website, and especially for Children's Day, there's a pull-down tab for Children's Day. You can give by sending your offerings in. Thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us. Now prepare us, let us prepare for the benediction. Always remember.